Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Wilmington, North Carolina, one of the spookiest towns on the East Coast. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everyone to ScaryCast Tuesday. It's good to have you here. We've got a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. First of all, I would like to introduce my co-host from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Getting better and better.
Well, we're glad you are. We're glad you're here with us. It's good to have you here. And tonight, and I'm Dr. John Stamey, in case I didn't mention that. Tonight, our guests are Matt Delf, and I'm going to let Matt introduce our other guest because he's such good friends with her. Matt, how are you doing tonight from Ewing, Virginia?
I'm doing great. I'm doing excellent. Glad to be here.
Well, we are glad you're here. And who do you have with you tonight as our guest, as our other guest?
I've got my best friend, other half, research partner, Jamie Whitaker. And she's got some pretty cool stories to tell. She covers
hey,
the other
Jamie,
half
how
of my research.
Jamie,
stuff.
How are you doing? It's good to have you here.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. I'm just glad to have you here. All right, Matt, what kind of stories do you have tonight? They're going to be interesting, so tell us a little bit about them, and after a little while, Kyler and I will ask you some questions.
All right. Well, what it is, of course, you know, me and Jamie, we do a lot of research together and stuff, and she is more on the spiritual side of the research. As me, I'm mostly cryptids, but I'm learning, and she is teaching me more of the spiritual side, and she's had a lot of cases where we get into the attachments, entities, attaching themselves to people and objects, and she's worked with removing some of those attachments and entities, and like for her to tell a few of the cases and tell about how she goes about doing it.
All right. I don't know. You want to talk about some of the haunted objects because there's kind of a difference between haunted objects and actual attachments because there are spirits that follow stuff around, but then there are some that are kind of troublemakers and stuff. I don't even know where to begin, but
explain the difference.
I learned a lot of stuff on my own. I didn't really, we hid a lot of this stuff and didn't talk about it for a long time. But so my terms are a little bit different sometimes than other people. A lot of it's in your understanding. But to me, when it's attached to an object, it's just specifically to that object. So if you were going to take it to some other place, it's still going to follow that object. And some of them are malevolent. They're, troublemakers or whatever. And especially you find a lot of that with portals, like mirrors and stuff like that. And I've had problems with pendulums. And they, like I said, mirrors, they're similar in that their openings to the other world or whatever. So they're acting more like an opening than I would say an attachment per se. It's just coming through. It's using that as a gateway to come through. So I don't know if that makes sense, my description in the difference there, but that's how I see it anyway. Attached, like I said, if I was attached to, say, old furniture, you know, a lot of times you hear something's attached to an old piece of furniture, and it'll stay with a piece of furniture. But, like, with a mirror or something, it's kind of coming more like it's coming through the mirror. Or the, like I said, I've had trouble with pendulums. When I say trouble, it's just I've had several of them that weren't properly cleansed or, you know, opened and closed or whatever, and had stuff try to come through, that sort of thing. So it's not really attached to it. It's just using it as a tool. And it's kind of the same way with people or places or, you know, any other object. Some people can be haunted and it'll follow them everywhere, but their house could be haunted and it's just more location, like it stays inside their house. So that to me is the difference. Okay. Anyway.
Well, that's very interesting. Jamie, can you tell us some examples of some of these entities that you have cleansed off?
I'll talk about when one of the pendulums that I had to cleanse was, it was a little bit tricky. What it had coming through, it didn't manifest in the sense that it didn't get to the point where it was able to come completely through and manifest. When I got the pendulum, it was brought to me to do a blessing and cleansing. And, you know, I did my thing, pulled it out and stored it. A lot of times I'll store stuff in salt. I'm huge on salt to prevent anything from coming or going. And I said, salt is real good at cleansing and kind of grounding the energy and all that. So I had this pendulum that had been just kind of swinging sporadically. It had a real heavy vibe. And just, like I said, it was kind of doing its own thing and it wasn't doing what it normally, it wasn't, I would say, behaving like it normally does. And like I said, it had that heavy, heavy vibe. So when I got it, I did my little blessing and pulled out what I could get out. And so then when I stored it, I was instructed by my guides to put piece of clear quartz and a piece of selenite in the box that I had it in with the salt to continue the cleansing. And the next day when I opened it up to finish what, you know, go over it again, because this one was attached pretty, it was coming through pretty strong. It had, it was trying, it had, like I said, it didn't manifest completely, but it was trying. The quartz that I had in there was crystal clear quartz, you know, just your traditional, your plain old run-of-the-mill quartz, and it was all dingy and yellow and just like a sooty-looking color after sitting in that. It looked like it, I wouldn't say charred because it was more of a yellow, but that's the only time I've ever had my quartz change colors. And I believe it was something to do with the property that it was used on. There were some other attachments and there was a whole lot of other activity on that property that after I had to do a cleansing on some houses and stuff like that after cleansing the pendulum too. But that was the first one. I've been the only one that I've had any trouble, like a crystal actually changing colors after, like it absorbed the negative energy or whatever. That was one of the pendulums. I've had other pendulums that stuff tried to come through. They're like any other tool that you use. You need to open and close, you know, just say you're done with it and make sure that you know what you're doing when you're using that kind of stuff. But other than that, the objects have been pretty light. That was probably the heaviest one that I've done that was an object that had an attachment to it. Most of them are really pretty easy to pull off or cleanse or whatever. And I've done some properties, some houses that were a little heavier than that, but think of any other.
Now, when you say attachment, how do they know that there is an attachment? What happens when these things are getting attachments? What's going on and how do they recognize it?
I don't usually have people come to me that say they have an attachment. I generally have somebody else say there's something going on. Or they'll start seeing something. I'm trying to think I can't think of one time that anybody actually came to me and said that they had an attachment. But from my experience, I'm generally pretty well protected, but every now and then you go in these areas that have, when you're dealing with this stuff, you're going to come across some pretty heavy energies. For me, it's like when you're under kind of an attack, your center it's like something's gripping the center of your body, like heart, chakra, stomach, midsection area, and it's just kind of tight and nauseous. Now, I've seen people with scratches in their sleep, entities trying to come through, and because when you're in a sleep state, you're more open. Some of them completely take over to the point where the person doesn't even remember what was going on, and they're writing stuff and real dark eyes. I haven't had the black eyes, like completely black eyes, but I've had them go dark, like real dark circles and writing things and other people's handwriting and not really their voice. I've had some that came through that they were speaking in different voices and stuff, and you have to be careful with that kind of thing because, I mean, of course, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you if it's, if a person's got anything going on mentally or anything. I can usually tell if there's an attachment or something, but I can't say, if they need to see a doctor anyway. There's usually just, like I said, they'll have, and you'll feel drained of your energy. You'll be tired all the time. You'll just see a completely different shift in attitude and personality and all of these things kind of towards, the darker side. And like I said, you're real tired and all of that because a lot of them are energy feeders, and that's all they need is they just want to suck your energy out is about all they're doing. Like I said, I've seen a few of them that were they're not even themselves to the point it had attached so well that they weren't even speaking their own voice. Usually by then it's pretty obvious there's something going there's something going on, but so that's generally. I can't think of one person that's come to me and actually had an attachment that thought they had an attachment because they wouldn't, there is an attachment when they try to contact me, there'll be problems. Like I've had doors lock on me before where I couldn't get into the room that I needed to get into because something was locking the doors and stuff like that. So I'll have it. It'll prevent them from even try to prevent them from even coming to me sometimes. So. And again, I don't know if that answered any questions.
Yeah, Kyler, do you have a question for Jamie?
It sounds like you deal with a lot. So So I'm trying to think, like, if there is there one that kind of really got you to the point where you're like, oh, wow, okay, I don't actually, that scared me. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Did you ever get
Not
to that
really.
Point? Or you kind of just, or did it? Okay, so it kind of just
well,
pushes
more,
you to do it more then.
It does because, too, I'm not alone. I have a spirit team backup. I'm a channel medium, so I'm not generally myself so much when I'm doing this work. So you can be really brave when you're channeling, like, the archangels or, you know, when Archangel Michael's presence, it gives you really a whole lot more, you know, you put your brave face on. And I don't know, I get pretty irritated when these things try to mess with people who can't handle it, you know, who can't take up for themselves and all of that. So I had one that made me nervous because it was actually in my own personal house. But even that kind of was like, how dare you? You know, this is my house. How dare you come into my house? But that was more my own ego talking. So most of them are, you know, I get mad because how they need, you know, they need to leave people alone. Especially I get a lot that are younger people. They're trying to manipulate younger people. And, you know, they're supposed to be protected. Don't mess with the kids. So I get an attitude.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, Jamie, I have a short story of an attachment to me that was removed by Tammy Trichel, one of the She Squatchers, at the second annual Georgia Bigfoot Conference. At that time, we were doing caricatures on the boardwalk in downtown Myrtle Beach. And a squall kind of happened. It was like a mini, tiny little hurricane, and it blew in really hard and really fast and quit. And I had run into one of the stores to kind of take shelter from it. And what happened was I was standing there, and all of a sudden the entire contents of a shelf just flew off the shelf right next to me.
Hmm.
And the manager said, John, you didn't do that. What on earth was that? And then I started feeling sicker and sicker and sicker.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and the first thing that Jen Cruz, the She Squatcher, said, John, what is that on your back? I said, I don't know. She said, you don't look good and you don't feel good and you're hunched over. I said, really? I mean, I hadn't noticed, but I guess I am. So she said, Tammy, come here and help us and let's try to get rid of this thing for John. And they did, you know, some things. They imitating pulling this entity off me and off my back. And all of a sudden I got better. And I asked them, I said, well, how did this entity get onto me? And they said, sometimes it will come in on a storm. And I said, oh, my goodness. A week ago we had a squall. It was like a mini, tiny, tiny hurricane. And then I explained to them how I was standing next to the table or to the shelf, and all the contents flew off the shelf. And they said, well, that's what happened. I mean, that was an entity that came on shore, and you were standing right next to it, so it just decided to attach itself to you. So I was very fortunate they were there, and they got rid of it because, I mean, I didn't really feel it. I didn't feel any change
mm-hmm.
of state or emotion or anything, but they got rid of it, and I think that was a very, very good thing that they did. Have you ever had anything like that?
I've had some smaller ones. They don't usually, a lot of them, they don't make a big show about it. They're not trying to, especially the ones that are just there to drain you a little bit. They only really need a little bit of energy. They're not like, it's not so much like where you see the whole, where people are possessed and their head is spinning and all of that. I don't, you know, that, I'm not going to say it never happens, but it doesn't happen as often as these smaller ones where they just want a little bit of energy. You know, they just need a little. And so they're not trying to draw a lot of attention. They're just a little. And then, you know, as they get stronger, they get greedier or whatever, they'll get a little bit more, you know. And so you just kind of feel blah. Kind of like you were just kind of drained. It's like somebody unplugged you or something.
Exactly.
And
excuse
for
me,
the time that I had it actually happened to me, again, I was just like, excuse me, what, how me? Because I actually did intentionally carry in crystals, which I don't usually. I don't really need crystals usually. And I called on, you know, my support team. And I just happened to be with a really large group in a cemetery that has, I mean, there's a lot of history on the land. There's a lot going on in one location. So how it got to me, I don't know, but there were about three of us that had the same thing happen. And to me, it literally, I could feel this one in my stomach because they do attach different ways. You know, you'll see them, like you said, they'll be attached to your, you know, kind of like a little monkey on your back or hovering beside you or kind of hooked in through your center, draining energy that way. This one was trying to hook in through my center, and it was the weirdest tired I've ever experienced. It was like I could have fallen asleep standing up, and I didn't need sleep. I was just, it was this terrible exhaustion, unnatural exhaustion. And it wasn't hard to get rid of. All I had to do was say I wanted to get rid of it. So why I experienced that one, I'm not sure. I'm thankful, actually, that I did, because now I know what it, you know, because I know what it feels like. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't bad, that bad. It was easy to get rid of. So generally I deal with stuff that comes from places. That, I mean, if we get holes in our auras, we usually have a pretty decent little shell around us. But stress or worry or, I mean, any number of things, you'll get a little hole in your aura, and it repairs itself. But these things are looking for some way to get to you. And generally we can, you know, as long as we stay in a relatively decent state of mind or whatever, do our cleansing rituals. Because if you tend to visit places like cemeteries and stuff, most people who visit those places know how to, how to tell things they need to say, you know, they know protocol and stuff. I got sidetracked on my whole point on that one. Most of the things have come from places like that, or just being around people who have some kind of low vibe thing, and they're, you know, they want some new energy to jump over to, or something. So it's common, but it's not usually, you know, they're not usually too bad.
Right. Well, that's good, and that was very helpful. And you know, it was a heck of an experience for me. It was very real, mm-hmm. and I'm glad I had some trained paranormal investigators mm-hmm. and paranormal ladies who have techniques of the paranormal at their fingertips who could help mm-hmm. you with that.
So when you're into that kind of stuff, you kind of have to know how to protect yourself or whatever. You know, if you're going to investigate something paranormal, you're going to run into something that's going to be more than a ghost. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. Matt, do you have a question for Jamie?
Yeah. Okay. So what is one of your best, freakiest cases that you've had to do, and how did it come about, and what did you do to actually remove the entity, and how did you know it was removed?
Oh, there have been a couple. One of them, I think probably the freakiest one was the one that was actually in, attached to a person that was close to me. So it was freaky because I could actually sit there and see this person's complete attitude change. And again, this was a whole, you go from person is nothing but sunshine to darkness and writing. And this was just within a couple of weeks. I mean, it was like a light switch, writing real negative letters and different handwriting and big scratches on the pages and stuff like that. And it was just like, you could see the difference. Again, it was like a light switch. One second the person was okay, and then the next second it was just like darkness and dark eyes and stuff. And I was pretty new in this, like, that heavier side of things. So I kind of had that little bit of a doubt. Am I really looking at what I think I'm looking at? And probably the night before, because I had been talking to a friend of mine, Imani Hollins, and she and I we have done a ton of work together like this. And, you know, so we had been in communication about what was going on and what I was thinking. And, we had the basic sage and all of that. And the night before it really got crazy, we both had dreams. And she had instructions for me. She had called on extra protection and stuff because she saw a dark, like, shadowy figure around this person. And in my dream, I saw the same shadowy figure, and I saw the spirits that she called on to help. I didn't even know she was calling for this assistance. And what I ended up having to do with this one was just, I think the reason that it shook me was, first of all, it was somebody that was close to me, and I was kind of new to it, I think. I wasn't sure of myself. And so I actually cleared the house and had the person help me also to clear the house more and, like, physically bless the person and also said, because free will is such an important thing that it's not, they have to also want to be rid of it. And that one was because I felt like I had done what I was supposed to do, but it didn't feel like it was done, and it wasn't. So that was kind of pulling on my instincts and all of that to take it a little bit farther. Like I said, that one shook me because it was one of my first big cases where it was an actual come in and it wasn't a full on possession, but it was getting, it was in there pretty good. So that was probably one of them. And I had another one where the one where they locked the door on me was pretty crazy too.
Well, tell us about that one. And by the way, right before you get started on this, it's the bottom of the hour, and wanted to thank Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation for keeping us on the air. Thank you. If you need life insurance, give me a call, Dr. John Stamme, at 843-655-8775. Transamerica is the company that you can keep and you can trust. We've been in business since 1908, A-plus rated company. Thanks a lot, and let's come back to ScaryCast Tuesday. Now, Jamie, we're back on the hot seat on ScaryCast.
Well, this one was kind of drawn out. The one with the locked door was kind of, it involved the same area with the pendulum. So the house had been blessed. My friend blessed the house and everything, and the spirit literally laughed at her. At the sage, because not all of these respond well to sage. It takes a little bit more sometimes. So I was coming to look at the property, and the door locked. like it wouldn't, I couldn't even get into the room, and there were people, you know, there were kids in the room, and I mean, you could hear the door rattling, and you should just be able to unlock the door from the inside. It's got the little safety mechanism. You just twist the lock and it unlocks from the inside. We ended up having to get a contractor bust the door off of its frame to even be able to get into the room. And I could see the shadow of something kind of sinking down into the floor and into the, like, into the wall and into the floor and stuff. So that one I had to pull it out remotely, because every time I come to the property, even try to come to the property, bless the property, it would disappear. Like, you know, it would sink back into whatever hole it came out of. So I had to do that one remotely and grab a piece. I was actually instructed to grab a piece of brick off of the property so that I had something to kind of connect with and clear that house. And again, I called on Archangel Michael again with that one and some of my ancestors and stuff to clear that one out. But that one was creepy because things, it was manifested physically and manipulating things physically. Again, it was like, you know, when things fall off the shelves and fly across the room and stuff, that stuff's not supposed to happen, but it does. And this was one of them, and it made me mad because, there are little people involved, and don't block me from the little, you know, from protecting them. It's what we do, and that's what they were trying to do. I mean, I hadn't even got to the property, and it was locked at the door. And then it sank away again after, you know, after I got there. So that one was tricky. It was tricky because, like I said, I had to go in remotely and pull it out and what have you. So
Explain how you mean remotely and how you pulled it out.
That one's a little tougher for me to describe because basically it's like visualizing mostly. It's a whole lot of visualizing what you're doing. So it was a lot of, like, my shamanic work and stuff. I know a lot of people talk about remote viewing and stuff. This is actually working in between, I would say, in between the realms is what I say. I don't know what the correct terms are, but, and I just visualize. It's almost like remote viewing. So you'll remote view the property and see what's on the property in between, basically, because spirit doesn't always show itself physically to our 3D eyes. But this one, it was like you visualize, I had to visualize going in and pulling this thing out and Archangel Michael covering the entire house with white and, you know, protection over the kids and washing everything out with white light and stuff like that. And it's not always how I do it. That's just what they said to do on this particular one. And kind of my guides kind of hooked into this one and pulled it out. Like, I was instructed to take a crystal and charge it, purpose it to pull this out of that property. And what they do with it, I don't know what Archangel Michael does when, you know, he just does his thing. Some whatever he does with them, crosses them over, or, you know, they don't always let me see all of that, but so it's a whole lot like remote viewing, but more of a patient type thing where you visualize. I said you visualize what you're gonna do, and in this case it was protection with white light and all of that kind of stuff. If that makes sense, I don't know.
Well, it does a little bit. It certainly does. And Matt Dell, I'm going to hit you up for the first round of second questions. What do you have for Jamie?
Okay. Whenever you call upon your team, what do you, because of course it's your angels and ancestors and it's God basically, his warriors. How do you go about calling them, and what do you do with these objects after, because of course he's talking about like the crystal change colors, and that supposedly is what they do whenever they trap an entity. So what do you do with these crystals after they're stuff trapped, and how do you call upon your team?
I ask them what to do with it because it's different. I get different instructions every time with it. Oftentimes, you can just bury it and it'll transmute and ask it to transmute the energy, or you can put it in salt and I put a lot of stuff in salt bags and let it cleanse it and that sort of thing. Now, when I call them, my guides and guardians and stuff, I just kind of put the call out there. I talk to them like they're anybody else. And whoever comes in, if I'm working with a particular person, I'll ask for their guides and guardians to come in. So I just talk to them like they're everyday people. And just ask them to come be with me and or protect me or, whatever the feels right at the time. I lean real heavy on my intuition and that sort of thing. Usually I can recognize the energy when it comes in. Each guide or guardian will have, they have different, from working with them, they have different various energies and, I have a lot of flickering. I have that one's a little trickier. I have to figure out who's doing that because that varies. I just usually with my intuition, I just know who's showing up for the show. I'll see sometimes pictures in my head too. And then that's usually how I'll know who I'm dealing with because if Archangel Michael shows up right off the bat, you're dealing with something pretty big. And it's not always where people think that it's an attachment or it's something real bad. It's not always. Oh, a lot of times it's just spirit that needs to communicate something that's been trying to communicate something, but you're not, able to hear them or you're not listening, So it gets kind of scary. So it's not always all it. So. I just talk to like they're everybody. I don't do anything official, really.
Gotcha. Well, that's interesting. That really is. And now, Kyler, do you have a question or comment for Jennifer?
I have a strange one. I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer this, but have any of these entities or beings looked familiar or almost like you have seen them before, or I don't know, does that kind of make sense? Like you've maybe dealt with them before?
I have several that I have dealt with before, and I've had several that I know I've dealt with in past lives and stuff. And I've dealt with doppelgangers. I don't care for them because anything that's tricky, that's trying to trick you or look like something else is no good. If they're tricksters, they're up to no good. So I have, and some of them have a more hive-minded sort of approach. Like one knows, they all know. They're all connected in a sense. So those that I've had to deal with, I just call them Chaos Legion because they don't do anything but call chaos. They're not that bad, but, they're more annoying than anything. They just cause trouble. They all know what's going on. It's like once you've dealt with one, they're connected. And, they all know what what's what. Some of them are kind of that hive mind kind type of entity. So one will look and
so
act.
I'm guessing they all know who you are then.
A lot of them, yeah. But also, my energy is masked a lot of times. You don't go in looking like yourself, per se, because they don't deal with physical like we deal with physical. They deal with energy in a lot of times. So when you can mask yourself going into, like, if you're going into a situation where you knew you were going to be dealing with some big energy, or you're going into a cemetery and, you know, you might want to protect yourself. So you just go in, and I call it going in unseen. And so you don't look like yourself. You're protected in a little bubble. So they don't always know, but there are a lot of them. Once you're doing this, there are a lot that do recognize you, or me. And that's fine. I said I don't go in alone, so.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I said, I nicknamed them Chaos Legion. I don't know. That's just my people label.
Well, that's really interesting. It is, and you've given us kind of an overview of what you do. Now, this is Dr. John, and I've got, I guess, one final comment/question. How often do you get requests, and how busy are you right now actually doing these requests?
It has slowed down a little bit. I have, I'm geared more towards the helping people with their gifts right now. I seem to have a lot of that kind of question. People who are, they feel like they have these abilities or these things are going on now that, because the vibration is changing and, you know, we keep hearing the veil is so thin, and it's extremely thin. So, a lot of my stuff has shifted towards that, more so than the inner entities and energies and stuff. So I don't know what that's about, but it's fine either way. I like doing it all. So so I don't know right now. Like I said, that part of it is because I say thankfully, though I love doing it. That's like my jam. I love going in and ripping something out that doesn't belong. But
absolutely.
It's not as busy as it was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you certainly help a lot of people. And we wanted to say, first of all, thank you very much, because we're approaching the top of the hour and Clyde Love Ground Zero. So just following us right here on ScaryCast. And so now, would you come back and talk with us a little bit more about this? This is fascinating.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Matt, do you know how to get in touch with her?
Yeah, I think so.
that was a little joke there. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, look, thanks
Maybe.
A lot. We've enjoyed having you here. We've enjoyed having Matt here. Kyler, thanks for your great questions. You're getting ready to ride on off into the sunset until Thursday night, correct?
Absolutely.
Because Kyler is a host for the brand new show, Growing Up Haunted, starring It's starring Ryan Trembley of Monster Radio, and Ryan, we got Ryan, we got Kyler, we got me, and sometimes we've got Chris Chastain, because Chris just loves getting on that show. So we're going to have another spectacular guest about growing up haunted. So if you got anything, shoot us a message on our Facebook page and let me know. We'd love to talk to you. So I wanted to say thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. It was a lot of fun. Thank you to our guest, and thank you to Matt, and thank you to Kyler, and I'm glad I was able to attend and just kind of enjoy it. It's been a lot of fun. So anyway, thanks a lot for being back with us next very soon, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Same bat time, same bat channel on the one, the only, let's all say it together, 1, 2, 3, say it with me. ScaryCast. All right, we're going to do that one more time because I want a better response. One, two, three, Scary Cat.
Scary Cat.
Scary Cat.
Very good.
It's not going to
start
work.
Doing that every week.
There's a lag in a couple of them.
That's how we'll bind our spell. But anyway, thanks a lot. And we'll see everybody next week. It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll do the quick call around. And everybody say goodbye now. Goodbye.
Good night.
Bye, guys. Good night.